So we have an outline of today's talk. We'll do our best. We're going to do this for 4 weeks, so we've got plenty of time. But there's the outline, and you can take the notes that you would find helpful for you with regard to this important subject. So why are we doing this? I did this on behalf of Johnny, and Pastor Bob asked me to do it for 4 weeks during Advent. How many of you attended that class at least once? Just raise your hand. So there's a couple of you. Okay, some of you. You'll hear a lot of repetition. The only bad thing is I had an hour for 4 weeks. Well, today I got almost an hour. Thanks, Gordy. Thank you. But obviously it's usually about 30 minutes that we have to teach. So it's a different approach, and we've amended it accordingly. But we thought, and I also taught the young people for 4 Wednesday nights that same time. So it's a little bit of a repetition, but Dave thought it would be good and profitable if we did it at this time, and I said I'd like to do it. What are we going to do? There's 3 basic approaches we're going to take. This is about evangelism, reaching people for Christ, telling people about the Lord, being open to this. And we're going to talk a lot about it and share a lot of stories too, and you may have many too. And I think the stories are effective. They solidify the truth, I feel, when we hear the stories in your life. But I want to say this. Today we're going to take up the Great Commission issue. Next week we will take up the meeting in Jerusalem, which was a rather big surprise for the disciples to meet in Jerusalem. And then the last section we will take up is the great warrior story of Ephesians, and talking about how we're to operate in a fallen world and behave ourselves. Does anybody have any questions before we start? Just any comments or questions, anything you want to know where the restrooms are or whatever, just anything you might want to ask or comment on. Go ahead. Okay, about 4 minutes to 10, Jeff Wutke is my reader today. He's also my horn blower. So a horn will go off at 4 minutes to 10. And that means, there it is. Get to the end, boy. Malloy, you got 4 minutes, so that's good. Thank you. I also gave a packet, and I just briefly want to go over this. I didn't have enough. Well, there should be more than enough. I wasn't sure. But I gave a packet of stuff that may be of help, and we will refer to some of this in the next couple weeks. But I just want to go over it quickly. These are some things I picked up along the way. I've used this many, many times in evangelism, called the Roman Road. And it's good scripture from Romans that you can clearly show the gospel, okay? So I put the verses in there for you if you're interested. I asked Bob, I said, you got a couple little notes for me on evangelism, you know? This was last November. And Bob, here it is. Here's Bob's little talk, little thing for me. Single space, 1, 2, 3, 3.5 pages. Just a few little notes of Bob, okay, just to help me out. I'll give it in a couple weeks. He also gave me a neat chart that I think I used in March on another subject. He gave me a neat chart about how to present the gospel with 4 words, and it was really cool, and we're gonna use some of that later on. And then I also had something that it's called The Bridge to Life, just an excellent presentation of the gospel that I have dug up along life's way and can be very useful. This is just stuff I'm going to give you for your file, okay? And then then a couple other things where we're going to challenge you to see if we really want to get serious about these things. How about one of you, that class we had last November, what was the one thing that kind of stuck with you, if it did at all, stuck with you from taking that class? Sister Fissler?
The importance to keep preaching to ourselves. Yeah. This is why we're here.
Yes. Because she said, after about 2 weeks, we had quite a unique class, didn't we? A dynamic group of people. Wow, was it ever cool. But she said after a couple weeks, she says, let me tell you something. If nothing else, I'm talking to more people about the Lord now, you know? So it was good, and that's exactly what we thought should happen. Okay, let's pray. Our Father in heaven, help us now. We're going to look at some good things, some helpful things, and may it be a dynamic thing would take place, that many people would come to Christ, that many people would come to know Him and be discipled and growing in Christ, Lord. That's our desire. That's what we want to happen. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to make a statement. I don't want to argue about it. I know I've got a bunch of theologians here. I've got a bunch of elders. So, you know, I'm very nervous right now. I'm shaking. Is Dan Reed here? Because I heard he got engaged. Is that true?
Yeah.
Wow. I go away and the whole world changes. That's great. And I like his wife-to-be. I think her name is June. Is it June? No, I know it. I know her by April every week. She knows that. So I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that. But I want to make a dramatic statement. I don't want to have any comment on it. I just want to set the stage. So please, clearly listen to what I want to say. No one will ever be saved unless they realize they are lost and repent and believe that Jesus Christ is God and that He rose from the dead, He died and rose from the dead and saved us from our sins. Period. There's a lot more to say, but just linger, let it linger, okay? Well, you guys got awful quiet. I don't blame you. Yeah, let it linger. Now, I want to stop for a moment before we do much of anything. And I wonder if there are just two of you who, as you begin to think about this more, and you're involved in it, in the ministry of reaching the lost, telling others about Christ, I want to stop. Give me the name, two of you, give me the name of two people in your life that come to mind right now that you say, wow, these are people I want to pray and touch. Just come to mind right now. Just give me one name. I just need two of you to do that. Go ahead.
Brian.
What is it?
Ryan.
Ryan.
Brian.
Brian. Sorry.
And Janelle.
And Janelle. Father, there's a reason those names are mentioned right now. They were at the top of the list. And I pray that the week would come and a wonderful thing would take place. And we might hear about it next week, that they would have the opportunity to tell them. We can't save them, but we can tell them. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. There is a great need to share the gospel effectively. There's a great need to do it well and to do it with passion. My brother-in-law, this is one of the most dramatic stories I've had in 3 years. My brother-in-law is 63 years of age. Lives in Florida. We're best friends. He got saved 1 year ago. At 14, he thought he got saved. He lived a fake life. We didn't know about it. He lived a fake life until last year, July, he got saved. He got baptized in the last 90 days. And here it is. It was a 7-minute baptism. It was all on, you know, out of the tank. And it was good. It was well presented. Well, guess what he did? He's an international businessman. He's got contacts all over the world. Does anybody know anything about this thing I hated and never got involved in it because I retired just in time? LinkedIn. LinkedIn. Oh, I hate it. I hate it at LinkedIn. Okay. But anyway, he's on LinkedIn. No exaggeration. It's right here on the internet, right here. I'm not exaggerating. Over 14,000 contacts. Wow. Guess what he did? Just guess what he did. He sent the 7-minute testimony to 14,000 people in his life. 90% are unsaved. Europe, China, all over the world. How do you like that? And told them the gospel. You talk about gutsy. You talk about being spiritually gutsy. Can I hear an amen? Amen. I mean, you don't hear too much of that going on. Well, what's the result? 4,500 touched it. What does that mean? 4,500 people touched it. Does that mean they actually opened it up?
Oh, I like that.
4,500. And 80 he's having conversation with. Have you ever thought of such a thing? You'd probably lose your job if you did this. He did it. What do you think of that? I just haven't heard one like that before. But what a way. What a practical way to do things. All right. Now, let's go to this outline of the Great Commission. Any comments? Any questions? And we'll continue on here. I've asked Jeff Watke, who just traveled about 3,000 miles in a van with 8 children. Can you imagine this? And his wife. And they're still married. And they went all over the West here with Rob Therrell's van. And I've asked him to read this with great enthusiasm, Matthew chapter 28, 16 through 20. Jeff, why don't you stand and read it out?
Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him. But some doubted, and Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, to the end of the age."
Amen. Now, I sent out a little notice to everybody, and I think I'll do it again next week for the reading, too, just to keep everybody informed, to please read it before we came. And I'm going to actually keep totally quiet, except maybe a few amens. I'm going to go at least 3 minutes, and I've got 7 on my little chart here, to hear from you. What, as you read that and meditated some of you on it, I even had somebody at the football game yesterday said, "Hey, I've been reading it, Malloy, I've been reading it." So I said, "That's good, that's good." And I want to just have an open forum, and I ask that you just openly tell me, what do you see here? What do you see?
God commands us.
Amen.
It's intimidating, but he says, "I'm going to be with you."
Yeah.
"I've got all power."
Amen. Yeah. Okay. Good. What else? Just speak up.
Call to not just witness, but to actually be involved in their growth.
Did you hear that?
Make disciples.
Yes.
Not hit and run. There's a place for hit and run.
Right. Other thoughts? Just go ahead. You don't have to raise your hand.
So, immediately before the Great Commission, we have the risen Christ. The risen Christ.
Yes.
And there's 2 words that jump out of there that we need to keep in mind. Some doubt it.
Yes.
So when we're presenting the gospel, don't be too shocked if some
Good. Thank you. Go ahead.
Jesus is proclaiming this is his God authority, that he is God, and this is what I tell you to do. This is what you should do, and I have authority.
Yes.
Authorized you to do this. But most of all, what struck me is it's no longer just for the Jews. He's no longer just in the synagogue teaching Jews what they should do better in their Judaism. He's teaching Gentiles.
Amen.
All the world.
Yes. Other thoughts?
So, Gary, one of the things that I see as I look at this, and hopefully this doesn't mess with your outline.
No, that's fine.
But, like, just in terms of imperatives in verse 18, it says go and make disciples. Well, if you're going to make disciples, you have to teach them. So, I put go and then I put teaching.
Yes.
And then it's the command to baptize them. And then you got to go back to teaching.
Yes.
You got to teach them to observe everything. Yeah. So I thought it was interesting to know that there's two types of teaching right now. There's like one teaching that comes before baptism and one teaching that comes after.
Okay. Good. Other thoughts?
Going to all the nations.
Yes.
All the different people groups.
And boy, in the last 150 years, what an amazing job has been done. Isn't it amazing? The mission work.
America, they're here.
What's that?
I said, they're here in America.
They're here too. Well, we got, well, okay, go ahead. I said I was going to keep quiet. No comment. Thank you. Anybody else? One more. Go ahead.
So I belong to an outreach ministry which we will be going out Monday. So when Jesus said, go, we go, and we do the rate comfort method. I don't know if anybody heard of it, which is the law part, and that really kind of get to the heart. So, and then we'll have want to be presenting, we be praying, and we be supportive. So it's like we're in a couple of groups or stuff like that. And we take notes or whatever, you know, or what they get their name. I even ask for a number, and on my gospel tracts that I give out, I say, have any questions or anything, I put my number on there to give to them.
Wonderful.
So I can be able to teach.
Yes.
They
call.
And continue that evangelism with them and what they don't know. And I have had some, not many, but some call me back.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Yeah. And then you can see that you can actually see the work of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
I think.
Wonderful. Thank you for having that interest. All right, here's my comments, and this is kind of a Bob Johnston approach, so bear with me for about 7 minutes. I'm going to be a little preachy, okay? Can I be preachy?
Yeah.
Can I jump up and down like Bert? I don't know how to do that, Bert.
You just did.
In Galilee, the Lord Jesus appeared at a mountain I couldn't find the name of. This is the same appearance recorded in Mark chapter 16 and also referred to in 1 Corinthians 15:6. What a wonderful reunion this was. This is after, you know, after he's been crucified. The resurrection's taken place. They're trying to figure out probably what in the world's going to happen. What a wonderful reunion. His sufferings are gone. They're past forever. Okay? His living assured them of their living. This is a great day. He comes on the scene. He stood before them in his glorified body. But they recognized and knew who he was. They worshiped him, the living, loving Lord Jesus Christ, God manifest in the flesh. And as Bert referred to it, here again, doubts lurked among some of them. Okay? He stated that all authority has been given to him in heaven and on earth. All authority, not some, not limited. He always had all authority. Okay? But here, he was speaking of authority as head of the new creation, which we'll talk to about in a little bit. And this is a happy day because that includes you and I. A wonderful thing has taken place. Since his resurrection, he had been given authority to give eternal life to all that the Father had given him. Wow. This is a wonderful thing, folks. Could somebody read John 17, verse 2? And you can turn to it if you want, but just read 17, 2. I just want to reference that, and I'm going to move on.
"17:2.
since you have given him authority over all flesh to give eternal life to all whom you have given him.
Yes. He had always had power as the firstborn of all creation. No doubt about that. Okay? But now, he had completed the work of redemption. Redemption had taken place. And he had authority as the firstborn from the dead. That in all things he may have the preeminence. And I wonder, could you read one more verse? Colossians 1:15. That he may have, all things he may have the preeminence is emphasized here. Colossians 1, verse 15.
He is the image of the invisible God.
Yes.
The firstborn of all creation.
Yes. Amen. Okay. As head of creation, here it is, folks. He then issued this phenomenal instruction. Okay? It wasn't an idea. It wasn't a concept. It was a command. It was a marching order for everyone who comes to be saved. And here's what he says, and it's called the Great Commission. It's for every believer. Some may have the gift of evangelism, but we're all called to tell the testimony of how God changed our life. Okay? It's available. It's to be done by all of us. And he delivered it in this way. The commission contains three commands, maybe four. I think I made a mistake there. As I said, not suggestions. Number one, go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. Now, this does not presuppose the idea of world conversion. I don't know if he was saved or not. I kind of believe he might have been, but many of you would say no way. But he kind of got carried away with that concept, you know, in 312 AD when he tried to make everybody Christian because he thought it was a great idea, I guess. But this does not presuppose the idea of world conversion. Because most will not trust him, as we know. By preaching the gospel, people became followers of Christ from every nation, from every tribe, from every people, from every tongue. Okay? I was with a professor on our vacation. He stayed at the little hotel we stayed at, the little motel. Anyway, he's a teacher at Gordon College there. And he was telling me that he goes to an Episcopal church, which sounded like a very sound and very doctrinally sound Episcopal church down the street there. And the head bishop of this group, there's several Episcopal churches around the country, the head bishop is out of Kenya. Because we've got missionaries being sent from Africa to reach the pagan in America. Did you know that's going on right now? Yeah, that is. It is. Okay, number two, baptize in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Now, 3 weeks ago I was here, and I don't think you guys were here Sunday. I didn't mean to talk about these people, but I just want to correct something here. They got baptized. Remember that day?
Yes.
And boy, it was good. But when I enthusiastically announced to the class, okay, I called you Caleb instead of Evan. So I want to just correct it. It's Evan and Nineveh. I said Caleb. None of you remembered that, but that was on my mind. Man, they got baptized. What a testimony. Did you know? Yeah. And not one person corrected me. They're scared of me. I don't know why. All right, where are we at here? Oh, yeah, here we go. Baptize. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The pressure, can I use that word? The pressure is on us to teach this, and it's to be obeyed. And there's not many excuses. You know, I've had a couple baptisms in 30 years in my backyard, in my pool. Other churches called me and asked if they could do it. because they had a very invalid type person that it could not work unless we had that set up in the pool. Okay? Even those person, everyone is asked and commanded to be baptized. Okay? This is to publicly identify with the triune Godhead. This is an important event. And frankly, I agree with this. You can't be a member of our local assembly. Am I right, Bert? Unless you're baptized. I got that right? Yeah. I think it's biblical. That's good. That's the way it should be. They acknowledged that God is their Father, that Jesus Christ is their Lord and Savior, and the Holy Spirit is the one who indwells them. Okay? We baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and He empowers them and He teaches them. The word name here is singular. One name, God. Three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Okay? I'm almost done here of this part. We're a long way from being done, excuse me. Thirdly, yeah, go ahead.
We had a real good friend in our former church.
Yeah.
And got saved. He was in prison, got saved. And, well, appearance, the conversion seemed genuine. He showed fruit, but he just wouldn't get baptized. He's like, oh, I can't do that. Well, and I don't know if they're tied together, but he did eventually fall away. He's very anti-gospel. I mean, we're still keeping in touch, but I just found it interesting.
Yeah.
His refusal to obey, and now he's just gone on.
Well, you got to give him credit for one thing. He stuck to what he really believed. He didn't want to be a fake baptized person. All right. Number three, teach. Make disciples. Make disciples. I've got a guy in my life. He's my best friend. He's 15 years younger than I. He used to work for me, and I mean, I just love this guy. We talk almost every day. He's a big shot in the banking industry. But every time he talks, 98% of our talk is about Jesus Christ. This guy is so fervent for Christ, and he's involved. I just love it. This week, he led a man to Christ, and I'll show you a little bit of this next week. He led a man to Christ and so on, and he's got a network of several fellows that he's always working with, discipling them. He meets once every 9 days, I think it is, you know, for a Bible study and so on, and he gets them into a local church. This is what's involved. This is what we're to be doing. This is good. The commission goes beyond evangelism, as important as evangelism is. We need to be telling the scripture. But when they become saved, or even to get them to see the truth, it involves discipling, meeting with people. Those who repent and believe need to be taught. How are they going to be grow if they're not taught? The essence is to become like the master that is brought about by teaching and submitting to the Word of God. And boy, do we do a bang-up job in this church. Do we ever on this issue. The Savior adds an astounding promise of His presence with His disciples. Until the end of the age. Until the end of the age. You may be in a period of life, you may be living in downtown, whatever city it is, in Ukraine. And I say this with tears welling. You may live in that situation and wonder, Lord, what is going on here? What has happened? How could this be? But He's promises, I'll be with you right to the very end, whatever that may be. Okay? And that is a great thing that we need to know. They would not go forth alone. They would not go forth unaided. And we'll talk about this in another week. They would be given the Holy Spirit of God in their life, as we have enjoyed. And they would have this book right here. Look at this thing. Look at the size of this thing. This thing, it's got its own zip code. So look at, this is for a blind man to read. I'm getting where I can't even read that. That's another story. So in all their travels, they would know the companionship of their God. And boy, did they do a good job. Did they do a good job? I believe if I read it right, I read John MacArthur's book about the disciples, the 11, that they reached, in their generation, they went out. Think of it. They didn't have this. They didn't have this. They didn't even have this. Got to Scotland. They got to India. And so on. Boy, they took it serious, folks. And guess what? We need to take it serious, too. They did. And they changed the world through God Almighty. What a wonderful thing. I know so several of you are probably wanting to comment, but let me just finish this little part. I apologize. I got carried away here. Now look for a moment at this truth. It's good. It's really good. There's four alls mentioned here in connection with the Great Commission. Okay? It's already been referred to. All authority. All nations. All things. And all ways. I had cataract surgery, I don't know, a year ago almost now. I mean, this is kind of crazy, but I did it. And I'm glad I did it. Always. And as I'm laying there, I got anesthesiologists, I got nurses, I got all, I mean, there's, I don't know how many people were, I feel like it was 8 or 9 people. I got the surgeon, all these people. And I'm laying there, and I said, and again, some stories I tell, you may have already heard, but this one just came now to my mind. As I'm laying there, always, I said, Doc, I'm laying here, could I do one thing, just one thing? Sure, Mr. Malloy, what would you like? Can I pray to God Almighty? Now, I know most of you haven't done this, but, you know, I am half crazy. And I just prayed, Lord, please assist these. Please help them. May it go well. And may they all know the peace that comes through knowing you. Now, was that all right to do? Amen. Kind of crazy, right? No. But I did it. All right, here we go. Give me your arm here, Caleb. I'm laying there. I don't know who's touching me. We're with you. We're with you. And we're with you. Three of them hugged me. Three girls. Kind of girl. They're good looking, I think. I couldn't see. I'm just. And they all three said, we're with you. In other words, we're Christian. Huh? Always, folks. Always. You know, 14,000 LinkedIn. Whatever it is. Now I can't see. Oh, man. Where are we, 4 minutes too, brother?
No. We got time.
I didn't hear more. No, I know. All right. Excuse me. The gospel closed with commission and comfort from our glorious Lord. Comfort. He's always with us. And 20 centuries later, these words are just like written yesterday. The same excitement, the same enthusiasm, the truth, as if Jesus had stood and talked to me personally about it, is to prevail. That's what we're called to do. That's what we're called to do, folks. Okay? Brothers and sisters, the task is still uncompleted. This is why I'm doing this today, to encourage you and I to be more faithful. Now, any thoughts on what I just said or corrections that might need to be made? Go ahead. On that, and then we'll move on. Anything?
Gary,
go ahead.
One of the thoughts that I had this week, Becky Martin made a prayer request.
Yes.
She was asking us to pray for the remote believers.
Yes.
In your fall.
Yes.
And I have to say, we're pondering that a lot this week, because the remote believers in the fall, they may not have a church. They may not have a gospel, the Harvard Bible, the Nantown Bibles and materials. And maybe think back to the New Testament church when it's being established.
Yes.
That God is able
to reveal truth to people, even if they don't have the Bible in their hands.
Yes.
And it really kind of made me realize, really, I mean, I know we say this, but really how privileged we are.
Yes.
The Word of God. Really.
Amen.
Feast all the time. But it also encouraged me so much to think about people who can come to faith in Christ and there's nothing for them to go with. I think of like the Ethiopian eunuch. You know, he heard the gospel and then he went back to Ethiopia.
Yes.
So, preacher, teacher, you can still be obedient.
And yeah.
That was an encouragement and kind of a rebuke both to me.
Amen. A great reminder.
For me, it's we're told to be more Christ-like, become more Christ-like, not just preach it. Don't tell me, show me. It's not sitting in a pew doesn't make you in a building, doesn't make you a Christian any more than smoking a cigarette in the garage will make you an altar. You're supposed to go out and be the light and salt of the earth and attract people to you to be something they see in you that they respond to. That's it.
Where to be active? I'm sorry, My notes got mixed up here, and I'm a little confused, so I apologize. Any other thought? Well, I wanted to do that, and then I want to go into a conclusion. But isn't that funny? I had it all lined up. I was up at 6 a.m. and got this all right. No, I've been working on this. I actually worked on this on my vacation a little further. So just bear with me for 1 second.
Barry,
go ahead.
While you're looking, you mentioned India and Scotland.
Yes.
And we do know that St. Thomas, there's pretty good evidence he was in India.
Yes.
I kind of have to deal with Scotland, though. Actually, I'm going to be there.
I'm told that Andrew.
Yeah, let me talk about that.
Go ahead. I don't know.
Andrew did not go to Scotland.
Oh, he did not.
But there was a monk named St. Regulus in a dream or vision, and he was told to bring Andrew's bones to Scotland.
I'm going to call Dr. MacArthur and correct him.
Yeah, but by God's grace, a couple of others, St. India and St. Columba, did bring the gospel in the 5th century to Scotland. But, you know, that's a good story because it kind of reminds us you can't just hand somebody a tract by itself or a Bible or, you know, an invitation to church. You have to put yourself in the message. It has to be a live message,
amen,
a live person, not some phones of somebody else.
that's a good one. Good correction. Well, why don't we finish up with this? How much time we got?
9:51.
Okay. I don't know why. I don't know. I have issues with my sight, but I have a conclusion here that I really want. It was important. But we got next week. That's what the nice thing is. But let me tell you something else. When we were in Massachusetts, we went to this place, I don't know, maybe an hour and a half north of Boston. So we got this little town, beautiful little town. So I noticed there were two huge white steeples there. So I said to Pam, why don't you go do your shopping, you know, which I really don't enjoy that much, but I do it. And I'm going to go visit these two churches, just, and I try to do this. So I go to the first one. I never got to the second one. It was a congregational church. And as I walked up, there were about 10 signs on the lawn that, like you said, brother, I knew I was probably coming to the right place, the wrong place, but the right place. So I walked in. And I met a lady there, and she said she was the associate pastor of this church. And I said, oh, great. I said, I'm visiting and so on, and I love your steeple. And anyway, I said, could you give me a visit? Could you give me a tour? 10 minutes or so, 7 minutes. Sure, yeah. She says, I'm kind of the historian of the church, too. So around we go. Well, it was built in 1861, prior to the Civil War, so I thought that was pretty good. it looked like it would hold, I don't know, 600-700 people, because it had a full balcony. It was a pretty good-sized church, good size. I said, on a Sunday morning, how many gather here? She said, oh, about 80. I said, oh, okay. So then I said to her, and this is the stuff I think we should be doing, graciously, but firmly. I said to her, in front of the pulpit, I said, now, if you're preaching on a given Sunday, what would I expect to hear from you concerning eternal life? And she says to me, now, this is a congregational church. Keep in mind, the congregational people, if I recall right, came from the Puritans, the roots of it. Well, they're a long way off now. And boy, did I get a lesson in that even at this visit. But I knew this going in. She said, I wouldn't teach that because I don't believe in eternal life.
Oh, my gosh.
She says, I believe that when you die, it's over.
Wow. That's not a church.
And I said, what do you teach here? What brings these people? And she said that we should be kind to one another, should care for one another, and we should accept all views of life, okay, that fit that pattern of being kind. So you know what Barry Malloy ended up doing. In only 2 minutes, 3 minutes, you know, I was very gracious, guys, really, soft-spoken. I said, Becky, I want you to know something. I believe the Bible is true and that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He is God incarnate. So, and I gave her the gospel in a two-minute thing. And that you need to trust him and turn to him. He is the truth, and so on. So then I prayed. And I prayed passionately that she'd find Christ. And when I got done, she says, man, you must be a preacher. I said, no, I'm not. I'm kind of a bumbling idiot, frankly. But I said, I love Christ, and so on. So what do you think? You never know, right? Who would have ever expected that? But I thought that was the right thing to do. Do you agree with me? But most of us might not do that. And I think we need to start thinking more like that as the time goes on. All right, Horn. Final comments. Come on, two comments about what's been said so far, if anything. Go ahead.
I appreciate your boldness.
Fellow boldler.
Is that a word?
I don't think so. Another one. What other thought?
I really do.
I do too. Scared. Yeah, I'm afraid they're going to trip me up, right?
God can use it even when they say stupid.
Well, I had, what do we got, 2 minutes? I had in the class that I taught last year to the young people, boy, did we have a good 4 weeks I had with them on this whole thing. And I had this is the thing that I use. It keeps me focused on presenting the gospel. And it's well done. Anyway, so I challenged, okay, I'll cut to the chase because we only got a minute. One of our young men, good Christian young men and our young people, 15 years old, he took it serious. He took it. Okay? His mother and dad were, he was in the class, he didn't tell me this story. His mother and dad were in my class on Sunday mornings. They shared this story. I said, Barry, if nothing else you did here, this meant everything to us. My son went to the teacher of his main class and shared the gospel with him completely and shared it with him. And on lunch break, his best friend, who is unsaved, shared it with him. Isn't that good? He did it. He did it. He was scared to death, but he did it. And he felt it was a good thing he did. Lord, thank you for this opportunity we have, and may joy fill our life this week as we have opportunity to share the gospel with many people. Praying in Jesus' name, amen.